Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Don't sweat the technique.
Live in the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees. Now back to Joel and Jeremy.
Who do you want to play in the first round, wild card round? 713-780-3776. We'll get to that in a moment. But let's go out to the HRNP listener line. Troy wants to get in here and talk some Astro baseball, maybe a little Ryan Stressly. Oh, okay, Troy, your show. I'll get out of the way.
What's going on, guys? Hey, I didn't get to listen to the beginning of the show, so I apologize if you guys talked about this, but last night when they pulled Presley off the mound, you think he was PO'd because he got pulled or because of the situation that he put him in? Because he was one pitch away from blowing that thing, and it was going to be over with. And they were not drinking champagne and drinking cold beer last night. I'll hang up and listen, guys. Thank you.
Thanks for the call, Troy. Yeah, we did talk about it earlier. I think the one scenario that you missed in all of that was option three would have been maybe he was pissed at himself for the fact that he created that situation.
Yeah.
I personally felt like he wanted to finish it. Once he got two outs, he felt like, and all good relievers should feel like this, that he could get his way out of it. But I personally agree with Joe Espada that I'm not taking any chances there. And as Jeremy mentioned, treat it like a playoff game and go get your butt out of that situation.
Yeah, we differed in our opinion, Troy. I think Blankers thought he was a little bit more upset he was being taken out of the game with Joe a little bit. I thought it was more because he didn't think he pitched all that well. So I guess it's up for debate. I think it's up for interpretation. Hot take, champagne is overrated. I'm not a huge champagne guy.
I'm not either. And I guess maybe it's something that runs in my family too. But champagne gives me a worse hangover than just about any other alcohol.
It's almost like an immediate headache sometimes.
Yeah.
I'm not a huge champagne guy.
It's wine to a lesser degree, but champagne first and foremost. Man, you're right. You can start feeling it before the night's even over, and then the next day is horrendous in the way it makes you feel.
I'm not sure I've ever finished a glass of champagne.
Oh, I've had.
For real. So like, I've never even had to worry about that. I love wine. Like, there's a lot of wines I really enjoy. I can drink a lot of wine. The champagne? It's never done it.
Not
for
even
me.
Wedding? You didn't down the whole glass for your wedding?
Had a sip.
Okay.
We didn't have champagne at our wedding.
Really?
But at other weddings or celebratory moments, I'll take a sip at the cheers and I'm done with it. I'm done with it. We had margaritas at our wedding.
We used the champagne for the toast.
Yeah. Yep. You got to do that. Well, yeah. Most weddings. But we don't like the champagne.
My whole family's that way, though. The reaction to champagne is not good.
Really?
Yeah.
Runs in the family?
Yep.
Yeah, that's funny. All right, who do you want to play in the first round, the wild card round? I don't like when we talk about rounds and playoffs, first round, second. It's not first round, second round, third round and playoffs. It's wild card round, divisional round, league's championship series, World Series. So who do you want to play in the wild card round?
To me, in the wild card round, I stand by what I said, that I agree with you. You should be nervous about everybody you face, but I believe that my biggest concern is just as long as this team is right, I'm not going to worry about the opponent. I know that Kansas City is far worse on the road than they are at home. Video coordinator, if you want to say that. I know Minnesota's got injuries. I know Detroit, I think, is in a situation where this is a massive accomplishment for them just to get there. And you look at the guys they got rid of, and if you had Flaherty and Scooble at the start of your top of your rotation going into this series, yikes. But to me, I would, if Detroit's the team right now, I'll take Detroit and I'll feel good about beating Detroit and feel good about my odds against Detroit. But there's something to be said, both pros and cons, but especially from like a Minnesota perspective, you've beaten them multiple times now in your playoff run. But you got the Correa effect, just like you got AJ with Detroit. I'll take the Tigers right now. I just feel like young team, still kind of similar to the Astros in 15, but maybe even a half step below before that. Mm-hmm. They've already had a successful season because they've gotten to this point when no one gave them a chance. I'll take the Tigers at home with my pitching staff.
See, I think the Royals are more like the Astros than the Tigers are. the current, you know, version of the Royals than the because the Tigers' offense really isn't that great.
It's not.
Like, they don't have a, like, you know, well, I guess they have a good amount.
That's
of
That's kind
players.
Of what I said, a half step even prior to that. And you're right. Maybe the more accurate of the three that's closer to the 15 Astros would be the Royals.
The I don't really have a preference of which I want to avoid all of them. Like, oh, just give me a bye. I know you can't do that. The Tigers scare me in the fact that they have the Cy Young winner. Like, the whole AJ Hinch storyline makes me feel a little uncomfortable. Kansas City has a deep starting rotation, and then they have Bobby Witt, who's probably the best player, best offensive player of the group of teams you could play. The Astros have kind of owned the AL Central over the years, so maybe that's like the recipe. Minnesota's in there. Minnesota, you know, Correa factor, Royce Lewis kind of gets hot. He's been struggling lately, but can get hot. And then Seattle's pitching staff is really good. I'm not personally not rooting for a specific team. What I'm rooting for is that it stays tight and it stays congested, and all of these teams, or especially the third team, the third wildcard team, the team that you're going to be facing, they have to go to the bitter end and just use all of their pitching possible. So it's not so much that I'm rooting for a specific team. It's more that I'm rooting for the third wildcard, who you will be playing, to be completely burned up for their, you know, through their pitching by the time you have to play them on Tuesday. Because if they're looking at a weekend rotation, like a weekend series, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, where they have to win like every single game, they're using their leverage guys every single game, or two of the three, or Saturday or Sunday. I want them to be worn out whenever they have to travel to Houston on Tuesday. So that's personally what I'm rooting for. That whoever it is, and I think that there's dangers with all of them, and I don't think that there's one team that's better than any of the other three, give me a worn out team when they come to Minute Maid Park on Tuesday.
I love that. That's what I'm rooting for. Yeah, I'm totally with you on that. I think from the perspective of the one team that I don't want to face is the team you just faced. The fact that their pitching staff is more frightening than Bobby Witt Jr. It's more frightening than anybody, even if Royce Lewis was in his absolute prime of everything going on like we've seen him in the past. And Scooble's one guy that is definitely a dominant guy, but you've got multiple dominant guys that have pitched really well against you in the Seattle Mariners, and they know you very well, that I don't want to see that team in the playoffs. I hope that they stay a couple games back and it becomes a three-team race, and that, like you said, all three teams exhaust all their resources just to solidify their spots. But the one team, if I was going to say of any of the teams that have a chance, Seattle's the scariest team because that pitching rotation is really, really good.
Yeah. You've kind of beaten up on Seattle over the years, though. It's just been difficult. Like, it's been a chore. Like, even the year that you swept them, it's like everything was tight. You needed dramatics from Yordan in game one. You needed the 18-inning game with Jeremy Pena. You needed dramatics again from Yordan. So it's just like everything's difficult with them. And I cannot stand Julio Rodriguez. Like, I don't want to see Julio Rodriguez because he's awful against every other team. And then he faces you, and all of a sudden he's like Willie Mays. I just don't like him. He smiles too much for me. I think he's too goofy. I think he's silly. I think the deer in the headlight thing with the bat the other day, like, he just bothers me. Like, he's too good to have a sub 800 OPS all year. What does that tell me? It tells me he's disinterested all the time and he dogs it a little bit. But he can be like the best player in baseball when they're facing the Astros. I just don't like Julio Rodriguez. I don't want to see him smile anymore. Ocho, I want to play Detroit because, one, I don't like AJ Hinch. Why don't you like AJ Hinch? It would trigger Ben Mahler, who hates all thing 2000 Astros. Who's Ben Mahler?
Ben Mahler is the guy that wrote the book on the Astros, right? Or he was the Sports Illustrated.
No, he's an overnight radio host that's based out of L.A. Did some sports talk for sports radio, and he routinely takes shots at the Astros.
That's
for
Fox
nothing.
Sports?
Wasn't there
Yeah, it was Fox Sports, but he's moved around. I'm not sure where he's at currently.
I do know
that. Is there another one then? Because didn't one of them author either the Sports Illustrated article with Springer on the cover?
That was Evan Drellick. No.
Drellick wrote the book.
Yeah, he wrote the book, Winning Fixes Everything, and then did the whole scandal with Ken Rosenthal. I'm blanking on that guy's name.
Yeah.
We've had him on the air.
But Ben Mahler's a radio host, and he's a Dodgers fan based in L.A., and he takes shots at the Astros all the time.
It was Ben Ryder.
Ben Ryder. Okay, it was close. Okay.
Which is an appropriate name for a...
Ryder.
You can call me Jeremy Radio Guy. 5798, give me the Twins or the Tigers in the first round. I know the Tigers are hot, but I'd rather face them than the Royals or the Mariners in a three-game series. No Detroit. Don't want Scooble. 9695, champagne and a mimosa. Donna says, give me all the champagne. All right, Donna, you can have my champagne anytime you see me with champagne. 2568, give me Detroit. Who are you afraid of on that team? One starting pitcher. One starting pitcher is critical in a three-game series.
Yeah.
Pretty critical in a three-game
series.
And they have a couple of offensive guys that, you know, like Riley Green and Parker Meadows, who, you know, maybe haven't had, I mean, Riley Green's got an OPS over 800. Meadows hasn't had a great year, but they also play in a pitcher's park. Like, you get them out of a pitcher's park, I think that offense is a little bit better than what we might think. But I can understand saying Detroit. Dave in Clear Lake, Seattle scares me. I didn't want to play them if they get there. Yeah, I kind of want Seattle not be in there. 8143, bailout answers, step up and name a team, you wuss. Okay, I'll name a team. The team that is the most winded by the time that they come around on Tuesday. Ocho, none of what you're hoping for will matter because the Astros offense will make an overworked pitching staff look like a bunch of aces. You know that. They make a bunch of no-namers look like aces.
Well, how many guys are you going to know the full name of, Oach? Because your guy that you like to give his entire name, including middle name, is, I'm sure you're plenty disappointed, isn't one of the three guys they're probably going to go to as a starter.
Yeah, I wonder when Scooble is scheduled to pitch. See, I don't even want to dive into any of these teams yet.
This weekend, of course. I want him to get. I want him to get six or seven innings this weekend.
Yeah, I wonder. The thing is, like, I don't want to take deep dives into these teams yet because I don't want to waste my time. So I'm sure I'll do this by Monday. Scooble last pitched on the 24th. So that was yesterday. That was Tuesday, which I think that would put him in line for this weekend. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Sunday. Saturday. He'd be in line to pitch Sunday.
Sunday, that'd be great.
And if so, okay, that game needs to be a must-win for them.
Yeah.
If it's a must-win, he's pitching, and then he's not available to.
But if it's not a must-win, and they're locked into the third wild card spot already, they're going to hold him back and pitch him in game one. So I need Scooble and the Tigers to be in a must-win game on Sunday. If he pitches on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, the only way he's pitching if it's short rest on Thursday. That's 3 days rest. Yeah, I need Scooble to be pitching on Sunday. That game needs to matter. Yeah, that game needs to matter.
That would be fantastic.
That would be the best case scenario.
They got to him early in the season. So.
Knock on wood. Astros do have a tendency to hit good pitching.
They got to Crochet, too, and I think same part of the season, it was weird.
That's what Ocho's saying, I guess. Give me a pitcher that you know that has name recognition. Get the Astros' attention. All right, let's give away some tickets. Houston Cougar tickets coming up against Iowa State on Saturday. It's going to be beautiful, beautiful on Saturday night. So you got to get out there to TD ECU Stadium. If you have a family, this is the perfect night to go. U of H taking on the 18th-ranked Cyclones September 28th, that's Saturday, at TD ECU Stadium. Kickoff at 6 o'clock. Weather's going to be beautiful. Family weekend. It's our Hispanic heritage game. That's big for me. It'll be a night of thrilling plays, hard-hitting action, unforgettable moments, and this family night special is unbelievable. 4 tickets, 4 hot dogs, 4 drinks for just $80. Family entertainment for $80. Go to uhcougars.com/tickets or call 713-GO-COUG to get your tickets. Come early, be loud, wear red. Giving away a pair of tickets right now. Caller number 3 to 713-780-3776. You're going to see Houston and Iowa State coming up on Saturday. Look, right around the corner, we're talking football right now, but right around the corner, basketball. We're less than like 45 days away from college basketball starting. The Rockets had their deal yesterday. That's right around the corner, too. Your kids, they might be playing year-round, but they have tryouts coming up soon, I'm sure, as well. And you need to get a goal from ProDunk Hoops. It's the best thing to have in your driveway, especially if you have kids that like to be outside, be active, or if you like to be outside and be active, get a goal from Pro Dunk Hoops. They make the highest quality basketball goals that exist. Tempered glass backboard, which are like what they use in the pro gyms and the college gyms. Breakaway rim, stainless steel hardware, height adjustable. It's rust proof. They have everything that you need. Mention that height adjustable feature, 5 feet to 10 feet in a matter of seconds. And with their new goal, Thor, you can raise and lower the goals with a drill. That's right. Lightning adjust feature, they call it, 5 to 10 feet in a matter of seconds. Fun to do. Easy to do. Also, their accessories are next level. LED light kits for night play. You're at work during the day. Kids are at school. You can only play at night. We'll get LED light kits, and you can play all throughout the night. Backstop nets, pull pad lettering, and lots more. And you can order it all, including professional installation online. The pros from ProDunk will come out to your place, install your goal at the perfect height, perfectly straight. You don't have to worry about it. Like taking the box open with 128 different pieces. No, let them do it. You sit back and hang out inside. Let the pros of ProDunk do the work for you. Give them a call at 281-351-9822 and visit ProDunk.com. That's ProDunk.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
5798, bad news. The Tigers closed the year against the White Sox. They'll probably be able to rest Scooble until the wild card round. Come on, Corey Jolks, help us out. Do something.
Seriously.
Do something. We have an audience. I'm nervous. not going to be able to perform. I'm not going to be able to do radio. Ocho says that he doesn't like Hinch because he was too analytically driven. He likes Papa's gut, right, I guess. Do you feel like Espada's analytically driven? Do you feel like Espada's closer to Dusty or Hinch?
I always thought that he was the perfect balance between the two. I think that because he worked with a guy like Dusty, he probably understands, is open to a little bit more kind of like that Papa's gut feeling. But I do believe that being groomed in a lot of experience under AJ.
Don't say groomed these days.
I think he's the best of both worlds.
You got to be careful saying that, you know, like Bieber and Usher, you know, they were groomed.
Easy, Diddy. There's no, we got no baby oil in this process.
Some of these stories are wild. Texans injury report is out. Tank Dell did not practice today. I hope playing Tank Dell down by 27 points with just minutes remaining was worth it.
I hope that's not the reason why, and I hope that he's fine.
But
on Wednesdays, I think a lot of times they just try and do their best to if anybody has anything close, or even especially from a veteran perspective, guys get Wednesdays off and then they come back and they're fine. We saw it last week with a couple of guys that ended up playing and being fine. I hope that's not the case because, yeah, that was a stupid move.
Yeah, and no one else is talking about it, so I'm going to be overly obnoxious to make up for no one else talking about it. I'm going to point it out every single chance I get, because they're letting D'Amico Ryans off the hook here. Like, they're letting D'Amico, like, that was a stupid decision. Every single one of your starters except for CJ Stroud was, and I understand you can't replace them all. The roster's not big enough to replace them all. You replace the maximum amount that you potentially can. And if you had to leave Tank Dell on the field because you needed to give Nico a break, or Steph Diggs off the field and you need to protect them, and, you know, Hutch was available and Woods was, and you still want to run 11 personnel, three receiver sets, okay. Like, I understand that you only have X amount of reserves and you can't take out every single starter. But most of the starters should be out of the game. And the fact that no one else is making noise about this is inspiring me to be very loud.
Well, you should, because this has come up in sports forever and a day when you see guys that just don't get it in the big picture of things, when maybe you are trying to prove a point, or maybe you are just trying to get reps for guys. But your most important guys are not the guys that are supposed to be in there, especially at a time when, for a lot of athletes, when they're scrutinized and criticized, the one thing they say is, whenever I'm supposed to try to not get hurt, or just it's not going at complete 100% full speed type competition, that's when a lot of bad things can happen. But when you are either up big or down big, the last thing you want to do is be undermanned in the next game, or God forbid longer than that, because you lost guys in a meaningless part of a meaningless situation. That's not what you want, and you should hammer it.
D'Amico was asked about Tank Dell's injury. He said it's day-to-day. Hopefully it's not enough to miss a game. He said nobody can predict when injuries can happen. I think there's a way better chance of not being injured if you're on the sideline in a 27-point game with minutes
remaining. We can predict that, and we can also, like I just said, there's been a ton of athletes that talk about the fact that whenever you're in a situation where you're trying not to get hurt, or you know that you don't have to, like, go completely intently focused all out because of the fact that the game's out of reach, that you're more likely than not going to get hurt, can get hurt in those situations. There's no way he should have been in the game.
It really makes me mad.
It should make you mad.
And I feel like I'm taking crazy pills because I'm the only one saying it.
This is way different than the Joe Mixon situation, where in the Joe Mixon situation, the game wasn't over. And so from my perspective, I understood him going back in the game and wanting to go back in the game.
I think it's a fair argument to have on either side. That to me, like, if you want to say that wasn't reckless, I get that. But being
this
down
is,
27,
this is careless, if nothing else. Yeah, this
with
is...
minutes to play, he's playing to the bell, down by 27. All the starters are. If it was only Tank on the field because you needed a third receiver with Hutchinson and Robert Woods, now you do have Steven Sims, but if you, like, okay, like, at least you're resting Nico, at least you're taking out Stephon Diggs, at least you're taking out Laremy Tunsil. They were all in the game. All in the game, down by 27 points with minutes. What are you doing?
How is
he getting a pass?
Here's what I don't like either, Jeremy, is because a lot of coaches would say this is my way of teaching them a lesson and trying to get them to realize that, you know, they need to soak this thing up and we can't let this happen again. And in college, a lot of coaches will do that as kind of a punishment when you're getting your ass handed to you. But you don't do that in the NFL when every single week to week, is in a very important situation.
I can get it if you have a young team that doesn't have playoff aspirations. Like, okay, whatever. Like, you're embracing the suck. You don't think you're a playoff team. You want your young players to get as many snaps as possible to help their player development. I get that. I totally understand that. When you're a team that's your the favorite to win the division, when you think you have Super Bowl aspirations, how in the world are you playing most all of your starters, with the exception of C.J. Stroud, down by 27 with minutes left to play in the game? It is stupid.
Especially since we've seen it in the city before. I mean, I don't have to go back very far in the Houston Texans' history to point to that Miami Dolphins game the Texans had in 2014, where they were down by like 35, 40 at half. It was a 21-point game late in the fourth quarter. For some reason, Bill O'Brien was still running Arian Foster out there. He tore his Achilles, and he was never the same. Like, he came back briefly and ironically played for the Dolphins, but his career was over at that point. All because he had to be taking carries in a 21-point game in the fourth quarter. And Bill O'Brien said that day, and I've heard this same excuse from coaches time after time, and I hate it. Not that D'Amico said it, but they always talk about, well, we want to build momentum for next week. It's 7 days later. You're not going to take – what momentum are you going to take from playing garbage snaps in a blowout game and then turn around 6 days later? Oh, you're still hot from the momentum you built 7 days before? It's garbage.
With a completely different team, with a completely different personnel, different game plan. Even if I entertain the idea that that was real, that that's tangible, which I agree with you, it's not, is that greater than making sure you get out of the game healthy? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Never. I feel like I'm taking crazy pills. Tank Dell did not practice. Chest injury, they're calling it. He also has a hand wrist, according to Aaron Wilson. Foley, Mrs. Foley's baby boy, Fatakusi, did not practice with a shoulder. Kenyon Green was sick. He was limited. Probably has the crud that's been going around. Joe Mixon, ankle, did not practice. Jarrett Patterson, calf, limited. Damian Pierce, hamstring, did not play. Aaron Wilson reported today, though, that he's trending to being back, which would be helpful, especially if Mixon doesn't play, because you can add him to the Acres, maybe a little bit of thunder and lightning. Dalton Schultz, ankle, limited. Maybe that's why he's dogging it. And then Jimmy Ward has a groin. We all do. But it's limited. It limited him from practice today.
He's got a limited groin?
You think Dalton Schultz's ankle led to his shorter-than-normal arm span when being thrown to?
It's not a terrible rationale. It's really not.
I don't like
it. He couldn't quite get there. Maybe it's why he's dogging it a little bit up the sideline. It's a better excuse than just dogging it because you don't have an injury at all.
Sure, but it's not. It's also like not what we. It's not unheard of across the league when you look at what happened in Dallas and guys getting called out, that there are going to be guys, especially if the game isn't exactly going the way they want it to, or they're getting the ball the way they want it to, that they can kind of start shutting it down a little bit. And I saw a whole lot of I don't want to in what I saw of Dalton Schultz.
Yeah.
Regardless of his ankle, I saw a whole lot of attitude that might need an adjustment or some ice.
I'm with you, but the ankle's at least an excuse as opposed to I'm just going to dog it because I'm making $12 million now and I have a $36 million deal.
Then get off your ankle and extend yourself and land on the ground with the ball in your hands.
Fair enough. All right, let's get to the Will of Bitch. You never know what it's going to be. It's just going to be really good. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Something else that's really good, Oktoberfest. Oktoberfest is good, and it is back. Make plans for Saturday, October 5th, and Sunday, October 6th for Oktoberfest on the Kima Boardwalk. German beer, oh yeah. German food, even better. Live music, cornhole tournament, Stein holding competitions. That's always fun. Costume contest, much more. It's going to be a great time. And it's free for you to attend, walk around. So head out there October 5th and 6th. You can get your beer tickets, beer steins, food tickets right now online at KimaBoardwalk.com, or you can purchase it the day of the event, October 5th, October 6th. Some of the beers they're going to be featuring, not limited to, a New Belgium Fat Tire L, Blue Moon, Yingling, Oktoberfest, and much, much more. Souvenir steins available for purchase now. KimaBoardwalk.com while supplies last. And check out this food. Schnitzel on a stick. I love schnitzel. German beer bratwurst. Love that. Sausage on a stick. German potato salad. The soft pretzel with the beer cheese. So good. Saturday, October 5th, live music from 1 till 10. Stein holding competition. Cornhole tournament that night. And then Sunday, October 6th, we'll do it all over again. Live music noon till 9. Stein holding competition at 5, cornhole at 5:30. Do not miss it. See the full schedule of events, concert lineup at KimaBoardwalk.com. KimaBoardwalk.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
It's the Killer Bees, and I honestly have no idea what's happening next. Could it be the next great big food debate? The biggest Joel rant of all time? Jeremy trolling someone to the point of crying? Or just some actual bees making some honey? Well, let's find out. It's time for the Wheel of Bits.
Oh, my goodness. Would you look at this? What an enormous spin.
Let's play. Is it Bush League?
Oh, yeah. I love this. Is it Bush League? First one, Pirates release Rowdy Tellez. There is the thought that they released him with six games left in the season because Tellez gets $200,000 if he reaches 425 plate appearances. He's currently at 421. So many people think Pirates releasing him so he doesn't reach the 425 appearances, which would trigger a $200,000 performance bonus. Is this Bush League by the Pittsburgh Pirates?
There's no question. This is all on the Pittsburgh Pirates. This is their reputation. Much like the Cincinnati Bengals and other franchises, they are known as being extremely cheap. This is something that they are known for doing. I know that there are Pirates fans out there that are embarrassed by the fact
are
that they
Pirate
did this.
Are there Pirate fans out there?
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, honestly.
Two or three of them.
The dozens of Pirate fans are insulted.
Saw it on social media, but then I believe a majority of the Pat McAfee Show guys are all from Pittsburgh. And they were saying, they were telling Paul Skeens to get out and get to try and get to another team or let your contract run out and go somewhere else because this has been happening way too often, that their owner's a joke, things like that. But this is, I mean, good, bad, or indifferent. They had they've got some promise now, which they haven't had previously. This dude's played with you all season long. You're going to do this now? I think it's Bush League.
If you had a deal with the guy who does your yard, say you give him $200,000 for him to cut your yard 30 times a year. He was moving next year. You're never going to see him again in your life. He's going to be out of your life forever. He's done 28 cuts so far this year. Would you say, nah, I'm good, I got it the rest of the year?
Nope, I wouldn't.
You would let him finish the mow and give him $200,000? Not me. I'm too cheap. I'm too frugal for that. This is just business. This isn't Bush League. It's business. Rowdy Tellez isn't part of their future. He's been awful this year, too, by the way. Not very good at all. $200,000 probably going to pay one of their coaches' salaries all of next year. This is business. This is another example of a guy that's making too much money than what he's worth. I see no problem what the Pittsburgh Pirates did here to save. That's $200,000.
You said a lot of money. You gave my answer in a word you used in your response, and it was cheap. I mean, whether it's Bush League or not, it's cheap.
$200,000. You want $200,000?
It's $200,000.
If you could have $200,000 in your account and all it took was cutting Rowdy Tellez, would you do it?
Well, of course.
There you go.
But it's different than a Major League Baseball team. And also the long-term ramifications. Guys are going to see this, and they're not going to want to be involved with an organization like that.
They don't sign free agents.
But their agents know this. They're going to know.
They don't sign free agents. Who cares if their agents or players know this? They don't sign free agents.
Okay,
you know the free agents they sign? The Rowdy Tellezes of the world who aren't very good and sign these contracts anyways. If Rowdy Tellez didn't like this, he shouldn't have had it in his contract.
Makes a difference, and it's going
to
make...
So what? If you're not in the free agency game, what are you losing out on?
I'm saying for other guys from other teams, when considering which teams to go to...
They don't do that.
There's lesser
they don't sign
reason
players.
To sign for... Right. Well, with Paul Skeens and some of the young players they have, they should start thinking about this. That's also a point of contention with a lot of Pirates fans that are saying, hey, is this a message, too, that we're still going to be cheap no matter what now that we've got a nucleus to build around? Because it's disturbing, and now they're really pushing. They want the owner to sell, and they hate this. But I think that it does have ramifications for other players when considering Pittsburgh.
I agree with you that it has ramifications of players considering Pittsburgh. I don't think the Pirates care. I don't think the Pirates are interested in signing free agents. They're interested in signing these bargain Rowdy Tellezes of the world. In what world do we think Paul Skeens is going to sign an extension with the Pirates anyways?
I mean,
they trade everybody.
Well, you talk about all the time that money matters, and if it's going to be more money or more money coming from Pittsburgh than anywhere else, he probably will stay with Pittsburgh.
Maybe that's why they want an extra $200,000. They're going to put in a long-term extension for Paul Skeens.
They're going to cut players over the next 6 years and add it on to the end of Paul
Skeens'
contract.
That's what they're
going to
do. They're going to save $200,000 a year with these players signing these incentive-based deals, and they're like, here you go, Paul Skeens. See, we were doing it all the time. I have no – if I could be $200,000 richer because I'm cutting Rowdy Tellez four plate appearances shy of a contract he and his agent signed, I'm doing it. I'm doing it. I'm sorry. Is that cold-hearted? Yeah, it is. But I'm going to have $200,000 and you ain't.
It's just cheap in minor league. And look, I mean, regardless if it's Bush League or not, if they do have any hope of being able to rebuild the team to a point where they're actually not a laughingstock like they are now, then they're going to have to stop making these moves. And it just it points to a more, if you're a Pirates fan for all five of them, it points to a problematic, you know, thing where this team is still in the minor league mindset that they're just going to let guys walk out the door when they actually hit on their draft picks, and they're not really serious about spending the money to contend.
It does make it harder to defend that they are a laughingstock of an organization. I do agree to that. But all of you people that are so up in arms about Rowdy Tellez, will you go raise some money and give this guy $200,000? All of this fake toughness. Oh, they shouldn't have done this. Well, how much money are you giving Rowdy Tellez, huh?
Maybe the Pirates should start a GoFundMe.
They should.
To like, pay Rowdy Tellez.
If you're upset with Rowdy Tellez being cut by the cheap Pittsburgh Pirates, donate some money to the funds of Rowdy Tellez. You're not doing it. You're not going to do it. So stop blaming the Pirates for saving some money, too. Matthew Sluka, UNLV quarterback. Potential UNLV team that could be the Group of Five representative in the college football playoff. Out of nowhere, sends out a tweet yesterday, I have decided to utilize my redshirt year, will not be playing in additional games this season. I committed to UNLV based on certain representations that were made to me, which were not upheld after I enrolled. Despite discussions, it became clear that these commitments would not be fulfilled in the future. Wish luck to my teammates, blah, 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 blah. There's a little he said, she said going on right now. The Sluko side saying that he was promised payments that have not been paid. The UNLV side saying that we would never agree to paying players because it violates pay for play. Is this Bush League or not that Matthew Sluka is redshirting this season?
This is the state of college football in NIL and transfer portal. This is what it's come to. This is probably not the last time we're going to have this kind of stuff happen, whether it's an NIL deal where they had money they thought they were going to have for the kid or not as part of this. This is the state of college football right now, and it's sad. But if that is indeed the case, and it's between $100,000 and $300,000 that I believe is the dollar figure of what he was supposedly promised. It's a sad state of affairs that you leave your team high and dry, that they actually are having a decent season, like, you know, they have a chance to do some things, and that you are just pulling the plug and walking away at a time where I guess you think you have leverage. But it's terrible, but I understand it because that's what we've walked into.
U of H was doing this before it was cool to do this. De'Ara King redshirted years ago. Look at U of H being trendsetters and influencers like me. It's where I learned to be an influencer. This one's tough for me. I really would hope to know every detail for this. Because if Sluka was promised all this money, Sluka was promised all this money, I can understand being super frustrated with that and be like, okay, I'm out. Where I think this is Bush League, though, is that he has a bunch of teammates. He's got a bunch of players that are trying to get into a college football playoff. First time that the college football playoff exists, a Group of Five would be in it. Yes, Cincinnati made it in the past, so it wouldn't be the first time. But it'd be unbelievable. Unbelievable. And he's quitting on all those guys. So even if they're lying to him about the money or he thought he was getting this money, it would be very difficult for me to quit on the teammates that share the same goal of trying to chase down a spot in the college football playoffs. So I would like to know all the information, but I got to say he's being Bush League.
I don't find it to be Bush League because I believe the side of the promises made, promises not kept. But I do wish he'd stayed and played the season. I do wish he'd handled it a little bit differently. As you guys have mentioned, they actually have a chance starting off 3-0 to be the to make it to the college football playoff. So, I mean, it would have been nice to see him stick it out for his teammates and not even stick it out for his teammates, stick it out for himself. He's got a chance to make a name for himself, get into the college football, get exposure, play it out, and then when the season's over, transfer. If UNLV doesn't make good on their promise before the season's over.
Do we know his eligibility?
I think he's only got 1 year left.
No matter now, what?
If he was a senior, well, that would
it
change
might be
things.
a level of grad.
Like this might be his final year of eligibility.
I thought it was his final year, and maybe some guys.
Well,
are
then
able,
I would take that back. Then I
this
understand.
Is his fifth year.
Okay,
this is his final year.
All right. Well, then I do get at that point. If the money's not there that they promised you, if they broke those promises, and you're out of time, and you obviously not only want to make that money, but play for maybe even elevate to a program a little bit higher than UNLV the year after, although that'll be a hard conversation after you walked away from your team and having to answer those questions from other coaches around college football, then I get it from his viewpoint, and I would say not Bush League.
Good college quarterback, saw firsthand, beat us pretty good. Transfer from Holy Cross, probably not a pro. So, like, this is really this is a really good chance that this will be his final opportunity to make good money playing football.
Yeah, I don't.
No doubt.
I think he's good for UNLV. I don't think he's good beyond that level.
I think he's shown enough where he'll get a Power 5 offer, no doubt.
He'll get a Power 5 offer, but he's he's completing a real low percentage of his
passes. We've seen as much with guys later in their career leaving certain programs and getting a Power 5 to pick him up on a one-year flyer and finding the financial means. As Jeremy said, if he's not going to have an NFL career, he's got a chance to make cash that he may never get a chance like that again.
Yeah, more of a run-first quarterback, too. He had 1,200 rushing yards the last 2 years.
We know Joe's Notre Dame squad doesn't like to have quarterbacks who can throw, so maybe he can end up there next year.
But you look at, like, Van Dyke that left Miami to go to Wisconsin, of all places. But he got paid pretty well to get out of a bad situation for him at Miami and get a situation to play yet again. And there's been multiple other schools. Wasn't it the Kansas State quarterback or someone that just transferred?
Yeah, Will Howard went to Ohio State.
Yeah, there you go.
Because Avery Johnson was better. Xavier Johnson was better.
But Ohio State, I'm sure, paid him.
Well, yeah, no doubt. 1229, if he was promised the money, he'd have an NIL contract with the collective. I don't really know how that works. I usually stay out of that. I don't know if they can sign a contract.
I doubt it was in writing. Otherwise, there would be a lawsuit. I think this is probably some sort of booster that, because we've seen this happen at Miami. Obviously, you mentioned U of H. This could be a situation where a booster was going to give the money, and all of a sudden, maybe things turn south for his business, and he no longer has the money to give. So there could be, you know, extenuating circumstances here, but either way, I don't blame the kid for backing out if the university's not keeping their promise.
Yeah, I don't know the NIL law if you can actually sign a contract. I could be completely wrong about that, but I ignore it. I don't pay attention to it whatsoever.
Yeah, I don't know the letter of the law with it, but I would think that the university, whether it's frowned upon or not allowed, I don't think they can put in writing the payments that a player are going to get, because I think that goes against the principles of the NCAA.
Not the university itself.
Yeah, it goes against the principles. Right.
Apparently, it's a state law in Nevada too. So I don't know the logistics, the legalities behind it. 6967, his teammate, the running back, followed suit, redshirted for the same reason. I just saw that. Running back also.
Today?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. 0511, my goodness, Branham, totally Bush League. Don't compare Branham money to Pirates money. Lame. Okay, 0511, since you're such a tough guy and you think that Rowdy Tellez has been wronged so wrongly, you send $200 to Rowdy Tellez. Since you think that Rowdy Tellez has been so wronged by the Pittsburgh Pirates, you go ahead and send $200 to Rowdy Tellez, my guy. All right, 713-780-3776, HRMP listener line. What is your car wreck of the day? 713-780-3776. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Guys, you don't want to go fly to Vegas. You don't want to drive to Louisiana, but you're jonesing to play some casino games. I've got an idea for you. Go to mybookie.ag, because mybookie.ag is not only the place that I recommend you go to for all your sports betting, but I'm also going to tell you that instead of having to go to Vegas or to Louisiana or somewhere else, you can just get on your laptop, your phone, your tablet, and in the comfort of your own home or wherever you feel most comfortable, you can gamble at mybookie.ag. And when you use our promo code BET975, you can cash in before you even start to put money down. That's right, because if you use our promo code BET975, when you sign up at mybookie.ag and put money into your account, they're going to put money on top of that up to $1,000. Based on what you put in, they're going to put money on top of it. You have more money in your account, more games you can play, and more chances you can win. And they take care of you other ways than that, too. They have a loyalty rewards program going on right now, MyBookie Plus. When you get involved in the program, they start monitoring how much you're playing, how much you're gambling, what you're doing, and as you have different tiers because of how much you've been participating on the website, you can get better kickbacks to you, more chances to get better promotions, sometimes better odds, all kinds of extra promotional deals because of the fact that you're loyal to them. They want to be loyal to you. They've been in business for over a decade. They take care of you. They take care of your money, and they want you to be happy. And they know it matters where you go to put your money down. They want to make sure that they can be the place that satisfies you in that regard. Use our promo code BET975 whenever you have the opportunity and you have a chance to cash in. And those live dealers are standing by at all times, even when there's not games going on, so you can do the Vegas games too. The casino games are at your beck and call. All of the other games as well. If there's sports on TV, there's probably a pretty good chance you can bet on it at mybookie.ag. Check them out today. Do what I always tell you to do. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere. With the only place I tell you to do it, mybookie.ag. Promo code BET975.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You all right?
My leg is broken. The bone's coming through.
Bone, you prick. Where's my money?
This is the car wreck of the day
713-780-3776. What's your car wreck of the day, Blankers?
The Pittsburgh Pirates, Jeremy, and the fact that their cheap asses won't pay Rowdy Tellez with only four at-bats short of $200,000.
Plate appearances, even worse.
That too.
What's that?
I said beat that dead horse.
Yeah. Right, hey, why don't you pay $200,000?
I'll tell you, on the flip side, would you $200. Be ticked off if you didn't get the $200,000?
Of course, but I signed the contract. I wouldn't have anything. I wouldn't have an argument against. Would I be mad? Yes. Would I be blaming Pittsburgh? Not really. I signed the deal.
Right. But
I signed
it. If you played all the way up until four at-bats, given everything that you had, I'd be ticked off.
Yeah, I would be ticked too. But it's in the contract. Anything that's in the contract is plausible. And if you're not worth the money that you're making, you're going to get fired. I'm surprised I'm still employed here, quite frankly. I'll nominate the rest of the American League West. What a bunch of bums the American League West is. They can't beat the Astros over 162 games since 2017. And don't give me the 2020 nonsense. That was a COVID year.
Doesn't
no one
count.
Even cared. There weren't even fans in the stands. They played
games.
60 games. 60 games. Seven straight full season AL West champions. The rest of the American League West are a bunch of bums.
I'm considered eight straight, considering they got further than any other AL West team once it got to the postseason. I'm going to call it eight straight. But my car wreck.
Because they were the wild card, but they still got to the AL.
The problem with that is it really hurts the argument from last year.
Good point.
I think
point.
That's a little. Fallacy
okay.
In your argument there.
It backfires a little bit there. Yeah. Quickly, my car wreck of the day nomination will be to my singing, which might have been heard briefly earlier in the show.
I didn't hear you sing.
Yeah, I don't know. It could have been on the show, could have not.
You guys both rapping. I had no idea that was coming.
We were rapping?
Well, I mean, kind of.
Billy Joel's a rapper?
I mean, kind of, when you're just throwing out a whole bunch of names as quick as you can.
Man. If Billy Joel's a rapper in Wisconsin, what is Lil Wayne?
Why's it got to be Wisconsin?
because you're from Wisconsin.
Right,
we all
but
know.
It doesn't mean that Wisconsin feels that way. It's just me.
Couple of nominees on the text line,
713-780-3.
That's enough, Wisconsin. Wow. Branham runs away with car wreck of the day on his Rowdy Tellez tank. You, sir, are Bush League. Okay, 9229. Put your money where your mouth is. Start a GoFundMe and start with a base $200. If you think the Pirates are so cheap, I bet you're cheaper. I bet you won't even throw $20 in for Rowdy Tellez. Blankers, you want to start the GoFundMe? You want to put $20 in for Rowdy Tellez?
No.
Fake hustle with the argument that the Pirates are doing Rowdy Tellez wrong. 8998, this is my kind of guy right here. Or lady. Car wreck of the day. Rowdy Tellez! For having a stupid name like Rowdy, well, that would be Mr. and Mrs. Tellez, but second for crying over $200,000. I don't even know if he was crying over it. There were other people that were crying for him, that they were his proxy criers. He signed the deal. He should fire his agent if he doesn't like it. Jasper, my car wreck of the day is myself. Gave myself a concussion on a 2x4 in an attic at work. Now I can't have alcohol, caffeine, or work out for 24 hours. Nice flex at the end. And I can't even file workman's comp because I own the dang company.
That's
a double out.
Yeah, double flex.
He gave himself
a
concussion.
What I work out, too, I own the company.
What do you turn quickly and catch like a barrier? I mean, one of the brackets in the attic?
You mean like an AC guy just stand up and lose place of where he is and bang his head into
Jasper, how did you get your concussions, one? Two, should you be looking at a bright screen to fire off that text?
Oh, good point.
Good call there.
Maybe it's a double car wreck of the day.
Yeah, I can tell
Jasper.
You the one that I didn't like was I did something similar in the attic, but when I picked my head up, the nail gun had the nail sticking out from the shingles, caught one of the nails in the top of the dome. That didn't feel great.
Stitches?
No, it wasn't a big enough oak gash to stitch up, but it was bleeding.
That's not good.
No.
You ever had stitches?
Oh, yeah. Have you seen my leg?
How many stitches did you have?
64 stitches and 8 staples.
At one time?
What happened?
Oh, yeah.
You were playing basketball? Or?
I got bit by a pit bull.
That's rough. That's real rough. How old were you?
About 5 years ago.
That was 5 years ago? I don't know why me looking at it would be able to tell
that
was 5 years ago.
Because you can see that I'm missing a third of my calf.
That's nuts. Was it your own pit bull?
I'm not going to answer that.
I raised it wrong.
Yeah.
Well, because we fostered the dog.
I've only had stitches for like
I'm a dog.
Dental work. Mm. But I've broken some bones. All right, what's winning? Car wreck of the day.
The Pittsburgh Fire.
Joel's leg.
Rowdy Tellez. I think Jasper.
Yeah, good
call.
Yeah,
that's probably
Jasper.
True.
I mean, he's had a tough day. He probably needs a win. He needs a W. He's staring at bright screens while he has a concussion. That's dumb.
Kind of a twisted
Jasper
W.
I feel like Jasper needs one. I feel like he needs a W here.
We'll give him the win.
All right. Congratulations, Jasper. You're our car wreck of the day. Does it for us. He's Brian. He's Blank. I'm Brian. And we'll talk to you tomorrow, Houston. Mike Elko, 7:30. Brad Gilmore, the star of Hall of Fame, coming up at 9.
ESPN 97.5.
Thursday on Compass Media Network's coverage of the NFL. Longtime NFC East foes collide in Week 4 as the Dallas...
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisisCLE.com/podcast.